Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're in a series on authority. calling it a revelation of it, because it'd be a revelation to a lot of church folks that they have authority. And then it'd be a real revelation on even how to use it. But, you know, we have authority. We kind of understand somewhat authority in the natural. You know, the mayor doesn't have to ask the sewer inspector what to do because there's more authority there. Not that they're not both important. You got to have sewers. How many are glad for sewers, right?
Right.
One time they asked, some of you remember this name, James Cagney, old actor. He was a really good old movie actor. And they were interviewing him one time and trying to sound real smart, real intelligent, you know, real on top of it. And the reporter said, what was it? They asked him, what do you consider your greatest accomplishment in your career? Your greatest work. Greatest work in your career? He answered, he said, greatest work? I pretend for a living. He said, plumbing, that's important. I thought, thank God for somebody from Hollywood that has their head on right. We can do without your movies, but not without our plumbing. Amen? So, anyway, praise the Lord. So a lot of people don't know they have authority, but we have authority. Amen? Even the Bible talks about in Genesis, over everything upon the earth, over every creeping thing. So we have authority over creeps. I heard a story one time about a pastor. He went to his office one morning, church office, and he saw a dead mule on the church property. So he called animal control and said, hey, we got a dead mule out here on our property. Could you come and get it? And they said, well, not really, not unless the mayor tells us to. So he thought, you mean I got to call the mayor? And they said, yeah, you need to call the mayor. He thought, I don't want to call the mayor. Man, he's belligerent. He's always rude. I don't want to talk to him. But, you know, he thought about it and thought, well, I need to get rid of this dead mule. So he calls the mayor and he says, Mr. Mayor, I came to my office this morning at church and there was a dead mule on the property. And, you know, according to character, the mayor said, well, what do you want me to do about it? It's your job to bury the dead. He thought, how do I answer him back without being rude back? He thought and he said, Mr. Mayor, you're right. It's my job to bury the dead. But I always like to notify the next of kin first. Heaven know we have authority over creeps. And that's not talking about people. Everything that's on the earth. Amen. So, heaven know Adam had authority over the devil when he showed up in the garden?
Yeah.
He did. Because God gave him authority, didn't he? You know, and we talked about that, how Adam was given dominion. And then we read in Corinthians, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says Satan's the god of this world. Well, God didn't give that to him, and he wasn't always that. And then we see where, you know, the devil tempted Jesus and said, all these kingdoms of the world are mine. I'll give them to you if you bow down and worship me. He said, for it's been given to me. Well, somebody gave it to him. Well, it was Adam, right? Adam's the one that had it to give. But thank God Jesus got it back. I said, thank God Jesus got it back. Amen. So what I want to talk about as we continue talking about a revelation of authority. And if you don't, people that don't know that, you could go back and get last week's message on, it was Sunday morning, because I just went through different scriptures. I think I had 11 of them. It just talked about how we have authority. Now, I mean, for something to be scriptural, what's it got to have? It's got to have scripture, doesn't it? So we gave you 11 scriptures. That ought to be enough. Could have given you more that said we have authority. Like, you know, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Right? Well, why, he wouldn't flee from you if you didn't have authority. And I've asked this before, and I was really shocked at some of the people that raised their hand. How many have run from the cops? And then Angie raised her hand. I said, Phyllis, what is she over in the church? What is she? She counts the offering. And she runs from the cops. And then she passes the blame, see? No, I ran from the cops. How many ran from the cops before? Come on, let's be honest. All right, look at that. Look at all these hands. James and Mona, they look like Bonnie and Clyde back there, don't they? How many of y'all know? Why did you run? Why did you run? Because they have authority. You didn't run from, like I said, you don't run from the sewer inspector. You run from the cop. And why are you running? Because you did something wrong, probably, right? And I did too. You know, I was doing something wrong. And the state troopers showed up and I ran. And, well, anyway, let's get to the word. How about it? So it'd be a revelation for most people to know they have authority. How many know that? And then, if you know you have authority, how many doesn't do any good if you don't exercise it? See? So let's talk about this. Let's look at this in Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. And I want to start off with this scripture for a specific reason. Verse 14 says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." So see, things, when we talk about things like this, natural people aren't going to get it. And you could be a Christian and still operate like a natural man. See? And you wouldn't get this. You wouldn't understand this. You'd think, well, that's, you know, that's just, that doesn't work. Well, all God's word works if you work it, right? And if you qualify, right? You know, in Psalms, God said to the wicked, "What right do you have to take my covenant in your mouth?" Well, that wouldn't apply to us. We're believers, right? So we do have a right to take his covenant in our mouth, right? But when Paul talks about this, see, if you were to read 2 Corinthians and 3 Corinthians, the chapters, you'd find Paul talked about three different types of people. He talked about the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. Now, the natural man is a man who's ruled by he's world ruled. He's ruled by what the world says about things. So that's where he gets his final authority. I don't get my final authority from anything, on anything, from the world. Now, they may be right on some things, so I'm conscious of that, but I don't get that as my final authority. I've got to have God's word as my final authority. Because if what they say violates what he said, I'm taking what he said. Now, they may be right. They're right about some things, of course. You know, but not everything. And I don't make him my final authority on anything. Then there's the carnal man. Paul talked about the church at Corinth being carnal. And that's people that are body ruled, or we could say flesh ruled. In other words, whatever. The natural man, he gets his wisdom and his knowledge, and if it doesn't compute in the natural, he throws it away. So when you go talking about exercising authority, which we're going to talk about this morning, the natural man's going to throw that away because it doesn't make sense to him that words could have authority in them. But that's what the Bible teaches, see. And so you got the natural man, you got the carnal man who just does what his body and his flesh want to do. If his body doesn't want to do it, he doesn't do it. If his flesh doesn't want to do it, he doesn't do it. That's where the Corinthian church, they're saved, but they sure are missing a lot. Amen. Then you have the spiritual man, Paul talks about, which is a man that's ruled by the word and the spirit. That's what we want to be, right? I said, well, okay, some of us do. I do. How about you? I want to be ruled by the word and the spirit. So when we talk about exercising authority, I'm not going to look at all these scriptures because we just don't have the time this morning. But you've heard us teach on, probably I've taught on it, Pastor Jerry's taught on it. I know Pastor Chuck's taught on it. And I don't know who else in the church may have taught on it. But we often take that story about the centurion whose servant was sick, and he came to Jesus and to heal his servant. How many remember that? That's Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." That's pretty definite, isn't it? But what did he say? He said, "Don't trouble yourself. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And then he explained why he said that. He said he's a centurion, which means he's a soldier in the Roman army, and he's a centurion, which means he has a battalion of 100 men underneath him. So he has authority, doesn't he? Yeah. And he said, "I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to that one, Come and he comes into my servant, do this, and he goes and does it. And when Jesus heard that, he said, I've never seen such faith, no, not in all of Israel. Amen. Called it great faith. Because the man said, you don't have to come, just speak the word. In other words, the man was a man of authority, and he recognized how authority works. It works by what you say. I said it works by what you say. See, and when you think about this, if we had praise and worship this morning, I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the presence of the Lord. I think our team does a great job. I enjoy getting in the presence of God. But did you know I could stop it if I wanted to? I have some authority here. Because I'm pastor, right? You know, and I'm not a hireling. I wasn't hired. You know. So, I mean, I have authority. I could just said, you know what, guys, I'm going to preach the whole service. Well, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that necessarily. But if the Lord led us to do that, and I could just say, you know, we're not going to have praise and worship today. I don't have to sabotage all their equipment. I don't have to break the drumsticks. I don't have to, you know, cut the strings on the guitars, smash the keyboard, and say, I told you, we're not having praise and worship this morning. I mean, that'd just be a little bit radical, wouldn't it? When I have authority, all I got to do is say, okay, we're not going to have. But what if somebody came off the street and said, I don't want you guys having praise and worship? You think they're going to listen to them? They're not paying attention to that. They're going to laugh at that. Why? Because they don't have any authority. Now, they may have authority in some other area, but they don't have authority here to do that. So when you have authority, what do you got to do? You just got to speak. That's how you and I got out of the kingdom of darkness to start with. The Bible says that we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. For with the heart, man believes the righteous. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Amen. And so I want to talk about this morning because it's real important that we understand what we are the ones that call the shots. You didn't get that. We're the ones that call the shots. Now, of course, we understand, you know, people hear that and they say, well, you're saying that you're above God. We couldn't call anything that God hadn't provided. How many know that? Right. See, people used to call us names. The one thing that they called us was name it and claim it, people. Have you ever heard that? Name it and claim it, people. Well, here's the thing about it. God named it, and you better claim it. We don't name it. He named it. He's the one that named it. You won't be saved unless you claim it. You know, nobody just accidentally gets saved. You know, I'm just walking down the street. You ever hear anybody give that testimony, you know, on the 700 Club or whatever's on now? You know, I was just walking down the street and God saved me. I didn't want to be saved. I'm a little bit mad about it, but I can't help it because that's just what he wanted. I mean, that's goofy, right? Yeah. All right. So all God's promises are like that. You know, God's still sovereign. He could step in and do if anything you want to do that wasn't contrary to His Word. We understand that. There's the gifts of the Spirit. I've seen people get healed that weren't believing God because of gifts of the Spirit. But that's not the rule. That's a little bit of an exception. I remember in a service preaching at this church, and man, the power of God hit. I mean, there's praying by faith, in faith, you know, for healing and so forth. But there's times when maybe the healing anointing shows up. Now, that's something a little different. That's some power to it. And I've had that where that's happened in services where the power showed up. And people still have to respond, but it's a little different. And so that power hit. Matter of fact, I was praying, and the pastor was up there with me, and I prayed for this one older lady. And, of course, that's all relative to how old you are now. How many know that? When I got saved, I had a lady. There's a lady in the church, and I considered her an old woman. And she kind of a little bit took me under her wings a little bit, you know, and prayed for me and stuff and things. To me, she was an old woman. I was 21. And she was an old woman, and so she was, you know, she just took a liking to me, and in a spiritual way, she was like a spiritual mama. And then one day, years later, I got to think about, I wonder how old she was, and I figured it up. She was 58. So, I've changed my, you change your view, how many know that? But I was praying for this old woman who's probably about my age now. And I prayed for her. She got slain in the spirit. And the pastor looked at me and says, God is moving. He said, that's the first time that woman's ever been slain in the spirit. So I thought, we take her with us everywhere we go. We'll know when God's moving. When she falls over, God's moving. So, but the power was moving. I mean, the power of God was moving. And so he goes back there. Pastor goes back there and he brings this woman up. And she's got this box on her back, you know, like this microphone like I've got here. She had one of those on her back. It was a wire went in her back and shocked her back. Now, it kept the pain. It dealt with the pain in her back. And but he had to go get her. Now, God's moving like this. This woman's got a problem, and she's sitting back there not getting up, see? And there's no faith there. How many know that? Or little faith, anyway. You know, when you see, you know what I'm saying? When you see people being healed, you'd think if you got a problem, you'd come. But he went back and got her. I laid hands on her. The power of God hit her. She got slain in the spirit. And this was her testimony. It wasn't during that service, but it was sometime later in that church that she testified and said, I went home that night, and she said, I wasn't feeling any pain. She says, but that box kept the pain down. She said, but I checked back there, and it was unplugged. As far as I know, that's the last she ever wore that box. She went on vacation to Florida. Hallelujah. Well, my point is, you know, this wasn't like she was exercising this huge amount of faith. She didn't have faith to come up there. Come on, y'all with me? But the gifts of the Spirit, amen? I mean, God's still sovereign. How many know that? He always was sovereign. But what we have to understand in his sovereignty, he did some things, set it up a certain way, and we have to know what he did. He gave us authority. And he gave us, he said, you resist the devil. He didn't say, get Jesus to resist the devil for you. He didn't say, pray about it. He said, just do it. He said, you stand against him, amen. You don't give him any place. You cast out the devil. Don't ask me to do it. Amen. You do something about it. Of course, it's going to be his power that backs us, but we have to do something, amen. So let's look at Romans 5, chapter 5. I want to read a verse there. I like this verse. Well, there's a lot of verses I like. How about you? But I like this one. Romans chapter 5. Go there. We're just talking about a revelation of authority again this morning. And just talking about how we have to exercise. We have to do something about it, see. How many know if you're a parent, you got authority, right? You know? Amen. My dad acted like he had authority. He never asked me if I wanted to mow the yard. He never asked me if I wanted to. He would do this thing. You know, he tried to save a little money, and he would, he added on I think it might have already been in the basement, a big old coal-burning furnaces. Have you ever seen one of those? I mean, looks like a, what were those, Apollo capsule, space capsule. And he hooked that up to the, you know, the blower system and had a blower and everything, and heat the house. We had another source of heat, but to save money, he'd heat the house with coal, you know. And he would always take his truck into town, and you back that truck under a chute, and then they'd pull the cord, and coal would just fall out and load your truck. And then when they're done, they'd let go of the cord or whatever, and your truck's filled up. Well, that's easy. I said, that's easy. He did the easy part. Of course, he paid for it too, you know. And then he'd bring it home, and then he'd look for somebody to unload it. And guess who that was? It was either me or Randy, whoever was available. And we'd carry it down in the downstairs in 5-gallon buckets. I don't ever remember Dad doing that. Why? He had authority. All he had to do is say. Actually, he had a remote way back then. He had a remote control way back then. It was us. Of course, we didn't have to turn the channel as much as you do today. We only had 3 or 4. So it'd be like, turn it over to Gunsmoke. That's on channel 10. Amen. Amen. We were the remote. But anyway, how many know if you got authority in the spirit realm, you got to know how to use it, right? And the way you use it is by your words. And I'm not just talking about any words. You got to believe it in your heart. And I'm not saying, now let me say something too, because I think this is where people get defeated sometimes, is because, well, I tried that, nothing changed. Well, listen to you. I don't know if we even have that scripture. Yeah, we'll look at that scripture maybe if we have time in Mark. But the Bible doesn't tell us things are going to change overnight. It doesn't say that. See, I told you I was having an issue, a physical kind of issue. And I began meditating on Mark 11:23, where Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Well, I've known that verse for 40-some years. I've preached on that verse hundreds of times. But that doesn't mean it's fresh and alive if you don't keep meditating on it, see. And so I'm re-meditating on it, and the Lord, and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to speak to that. I think, you know, how many know you can kind of tell when faith arises in your heart? It's there. And so there's, you know, if it's not, then there's kind of this scratching in there like I'm not quite there yet. And I could tell faith was in my heart to speak to that issue that I was having. But the Lord spoke to me about it as I was getting ready to do it. He said, now, wait a minute. He said, now, you need to quit saying you have it. Because I tell people, I only, you know, I kept doing that, and I knew better than that, but I did it. And that doesn't mean we can't share we have needs, right? How many, come on, let's don't get in bondage. Are you with me? Come on now, how many are with me? But you can understand when you're glorifying the problem. Why is it when you feel bad, somebody's got to know? You ever notice that? That's all right. But all right, let somebody know, then move on and let God know. You know what? Like we said, pity parties, the only problem is nobody comes. You have this party and nobody shows up. Well, you know, because I would say people, and I told you I was having problems sleeping. I'd sleep maybe 4-5 hours a night at the most. And yeah, on a good night, I'd sleep 6. And I felt pretty decent on 6. But 4 and 5, I'd kind of be wearing kind of thin during the day, you know. But I would talk to my friends. I'd say, you know, I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. You know what the spirit world's hearing? He only sleeps 4 or 5 hours a night. You know what the angel hearing? He only sleeps 4 or 5 hours a night. I'm thinking, yeah, let's wake him up. It's time for him to get up. He's had 4 hours. Get him up. Now, you know, you can get in bondage with those kind of things and think, I can't ever talk about my problem. No, there's a line there where you're giving it. Actually, you're considering it. Yeah. See, instead of the promise. And the Lord just spoke to me. He said, you have to stop that. I said, I stopped that right now. Since that day, I haven't said, I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. I said, I sleep 7 to 9 hours a night. And you know what I've been doing? Sleeping 7 to 9 hours a night. Ever since. I had 2 nights I slept 6-something. And you know, so you still have to fight, the fight of faith. But, you know, that's a lot better than 4 and 5. Well, I'm just talking to you, say something about, we have authority that we don't know. Amen. Sometimes. Amen. And things don't, but I want to say it again, things don't necessarily change overnight, but they're on their way. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, for if by one man's offense, that being Adam, death reigned by one, much more they receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. How many know that's us, right? We've been born again. We've received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Is that in your Bible? Or do I got a funny translation here? Is that in your Bible? It says we'll reign. Now that word reign actually means, also can mean king. And literally, I think it's the Amplified Bible says it this way, which is a good way to say it. We shall reign as kings in life. Well, how does a king reign? By his words, because he has authority, right? See, Ecclesiastes says this. I think it's Ecclesiastes 8:11, maybe. It says, where the word of a king is, there's power. It's power. Well, how many know the Bible tells us we've been made, it's Revelation 1:6 says we've been made kings and priests. Well, have we? Well, sure we have. Well, if we're kings, how are we going to reign? By our words, right? So we have to understand we're to rule, we're to reign in life as kings. We're not to let life reign over us. We're going to have things come our way. Because we live in a cursed, fallen, sick, filled world. Isn't it right? I mean, I just had something I had to fight off this past weekend, you know. I mean, this weekend it was. We're living in now. You know the devil will talk to you, well, you ain't going to be able to preach this week. You're not going to miss the meetings and all that. No, I'm not missing the meetings. Matter of fact, I'm going to come to this one. And here I am. All right? You know, and I feel pretty good. I feel real good, really. But, you know, I had to fight that because the devil was like, No, you don't call the shots. I call the shots, right? Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, I do stuff in the natural too. Don't miss anything. My wife has this stuff she gives me anytime she thinks I need it. And it's not whiskey. It's some kind of herbal stuff she gives me. Is that what it is? Is it an herb? I don't even know what it is. I'm taking it. I just trust her. Amen. Her and the Lord. What's it called? Echinacea. Yeah, she hears me sniffle. She's got that echinacea bottle out, orange juice out, you know. That's all right to do that stuff, but don't depend on that. That stuff can't always fix everything. All right. Now, look at Matthew 18. Go there, Matthew 18. I'm just talking about exercising authority. We do it. We're the ones that have to do it. We're the ones that have to call the shots, and we do it with words, see. You know, like that centurion, Message. I say to this one, go, and he goes. The message says, I give orders. I give orders. I'm the one that gives the orders. Amen. Who gives the orders around your house? Mona does. Well, I know that. Mona gives it, you know. Come on, you guys know that's the truth, right? Your wife gives it. You know, it's funny because, you know, Phyllis and I have this thing, you know, we go out to eat after Sunday service, you know, and we take turns who's picking. And so she picks on her turn, and she picks on my turn. I'm just helping you. Did I hear a yap over here? How many understand what I'm talking about? She says she's just helping me. Anyway, so we know where the authority's at in our house, don't we? Yeah, I'm the head of the house. Yeah, but you don't run anything. Brother Osteen, John. How many remember John Osteen?
Yeah.
Joe had a father. How many know that? His name was John. He was a great pastor, great preacher of the word. Faith guy. He said one day, I run things around my house, not Dodie. He said, I run the vacuum, the dishwasher, wash machine. Amen. How many know authority means you're in charge, doesn't it?
Right.
So the devil's not in charge of our lives.
No.
You can't just say the devil made me do it. He can't make you do anything. He can talk you into it, but he can't make you do it. He can promise you things. He can't never deliver on any of it because all he has is kill, steal, and destroy. See?
Right.
But he promises. You know, remember when Eve in the garden, when she saw the tree was good for food, a desire to make one wise, pleasant to the eyes, all the devil will show you on temptations the good side. He won't sell you the backside of that. What's going to happen? There's, you know, sin. Bob talks about sin having pleasure for a season. Yeah, it feels good to your flesh sometimes to sin, but the fruit of it's not good. It won't afterwards, doesn't it? It's never good fruit. Amen. You know, have me ever eaten too much? Everybody but Pastor Jerry here. He doesn't do that like he did, but he used to could put it away. I mean, he'd like his plate would need sideboards all the way around it, you know. Look like a cattle truck, you know. Everything shoved in there. But he's better. Hallelujah. And I'm getting better. Praise the Lord. Now, I never did fill my plate like he did. I just ate all day long. You know? Just a little at a time. Phyllis would tell me, those chips you're eating over the sink, they count. I don't count. That's not a meal. One friend of mine one time was on a 500 calorie a day diet. Yeah. He was losing weight. I guess so. You die after a while. He said, yeah, I'm on a 500 calorie a day diet. I said, man, I eat that much just fixing supper. Just tasting stuff, you know. Just walking through Sam's. I eat that much. You know all the tasting things they have? How many always taste better there than it does when you get it home, for the most part? But well, in this scripture here in Matthew 18, look at this, because this is really revealing to us. In Matthew 18, verse 18, it says, now this is Jesus. Everybody say this is Jesus. How many know if Jesus said it, how many know we should probably believe it, right? It's red letter, right? Verily I say unto you, and I love it when he says that. I'm the one that's saying this to you, not a modern day faith preacher. I say this to you. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So who does the binding?
We do.
Who does the loosing?
We do.
Now other translations say something like this. Whatever you forbid, that'll be forbidden. Whatever you permit, that'll be permitted. Now, I don't know where I got this at. I can't remember what translation it was now. I didn't write it down. But one translation, I believe it's a translation, said, either that or I thought it up and I'm really brilliant. A no on earth is a no in heaven. Isn't that something? A no on earth is a no in heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. So if you say no, heaven's going to say no. It's going to back you. You say yes, heaven's going to back you. You know, of course we understand. There's other scriptures that let us know it has to be in line with God's word, right? You know, we know that. You can't have true Bible faith for anything that's not in God's word. Because faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
So true faith is based on the word, right? So you could confess something that the word doesn't promise you, and you may think you're in faith, but you're actually in presumption. Because it's not promised you. Amen. So in life, you can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. See that? See? Whatever you, yes, or you say yes or you say no. What's the difference? Well, how many know a thermometer tells it like it is? It says your temperature is, what's it supposed to be, 98.6. It tells you that. All right? But a thermostat calls for what you want, doesn't it? See, if it's 95 degrees out, I'll take the thermostat. I want some cool air. But see, most Christians live their life like a thermometer. They just tell you like it is. When God called us to be thermostats. Remember David, when he went up against Goliath? He said, he got really bold. It says, and David said, You come to me with sword and spear and a shield, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
This day I will smite you, I will take your head from you, and I will give all, listen to how bold he got, all the carcasses of the Philistines to the fowls of the air. Isn't that some bold talk for a 17-year-old?
Yeah.
How many liked that?
Yeah.
God liked it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He made him king. He said, I'm not only going to get you, but I'm going to get all the Philistines. What did I say funny?
No, you didn't. I just thought of
Oh, well, I'm preaching, so, sister. You hold your stories for when you're preaching. What about, I got to hear about, what about, oh, no. Yeah. It's something we saw on TV. You don't need to know it. But David got bold, didn't he? And you know what? He said, I'm gonna feed your carcass. And not only you, all the host. Now here's the interesting thing. Did you know later on, you can read this in the Bible, David's mighty men went into a city and killed all of Goliath's brothers. All of them. He had four or five brothers. And they got them all. Hallelujah. David's army did. Praise God. But he said some things. He said, amen. He said, you're coming at me with in the name of your gods. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Right.
Hallelujah. Well, we're serving the one, the true living God. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
So let's close out. Let's go to Mark 11. I know this is a familiar scripture to us, but let's go there. I want to read this and then we're done for today. Did you get something today?
Yeah.
Mark chapter 11. Let's go there. Just talking about how we have authority. We need to know how to use it.
Yeah.
And the way we use it is by we do what the Bible says. We reign in life. We permit, we forbid. I'm not permitting this. Now, it doesn't mean it's like a magic wand. You're going to wave it and, you know, I tried that this morning, Pastor, and I'm telling you what, every problem I had has disappeared. Well, I hope it works for you that way. It doesn't work for me that way. I wish it did. Sometimes it does. But a lot of times I have to stay with it. Amen. You know, it's kind of like losing weight. You can't just make one decision because I've made it thousands of times. You got to make it every day, don't you?
Yes.
A friend of mine, we hadn't seen one another, a minister friend of mine, we hadn't seen one another in years. And I was in the church and just walking out to the lobby and bam, we kind of almost ran into one another. And he looks at me and we're taking off where we left off. And he looked at me and said, man, you're looking good. And I said, well, I should be. I've been losing weight for 35 years. How many know that's because there you gotta fight the fight, don't you? You gotta make the decision every day.
Right.
Every meal.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And so the same thing's true sometimes with taking your authority. It's not like we do it one time and everything disappears, all our problems are gone. No, we gotta live life like we're kings.
Right.
Like we're in charge.
Right.
Come on, are y'all listening to me? Well, I thought God was in charge. Well, God is ultimately in charge, but He's left that authority to you. He'll let you have what you want to have. You know that?
Yep.
I mean, He'll let you do things that you want to do. It doesn't mean it's the will of God, see? See, not everything that happens. See, like Israel got a king, and God didn't want him to have a king, did He?
No.
He told them, I don't want you to have a king. But they wanted one. So He said, all right, have one. And so we can have things in our life, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily the will of God. It's what we called for. Amen. Look at Mark 11, verse 23. I'll tell you, let's just go to verse 22, and we're going to read these two verses, and we'll be done for this morning. Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. Or I like what my cross-reference says. It says, have the faith of God. In other words, this is the way that God kind of faith works, faith in God. Y'all follow that?
Yeah.
See? And here's the way it is. For verily, here it is again. Who says this? I say unto you. Jesus says unto you. Say it.
Jesus.
Says unto me.
Amen.
This is what He's saying to us. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. This is what you got to believe right here. Look at this. Shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, or if we could say happen, he'll have whatever he says.
Amen.
Is that Bible?
Yep.
That's not a modern day faith preacher. That's Bible. Some people think that we made this up 40 years ago. No, we didn't. It's been in the Bible all this time. Most churches ignore this verse. But how many know we need to be all the Word of God people? And this verse tells us, you know, a mountain would kind of like talk about your problem, wouldn't it? A mountain, you know, we know that. What the number one thing Jesus told us to do about mountains is speak to them. Didn't He? In other words, put some pressure on them. Speak to them, not about them. How many of you must have authority if the mountain obeys you? You must be in charge. Right? So when a mountain comes into my life, guess what I know? Hey, I'm in charge here. When Goliath showed up, David took charge, didn't he? The rest of them weren't doing it, were they? Saul was, the Bible said, he was head and shoulders taller than anybody in Israel. He's a big guy. He wasn't going to do it. But when David showed up, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What did he mean by that? He doesn't have a covenant with God. Uncircumcised meant he was out of covenant. He didn't have a covenant with God. Who is he to defy the armies of the living God? Why isn't somebody doing something about this? David stepped up. Why? He knew something. He knew he had some authority this Philistine didn't have. He had a covenant with God. Amen? So the weapons of our warfare are not what? They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. One of our weapons is our faith-filled words. Let me give you some scriptures as we close out. Proverbs, we know this scripture really well. We've used it a lot. Proverbs 18:20, where it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips he'll be filled. That word increase means the harvest. You're going to have a harvest of your lips. Amen. How many know you're going to have a harvest off of that? And you don't think that. Just think about marriage. If you say the wrong words, you're going to get a harvest. Amen. Now, I like watching the Honeymooners. Anybody old enough to remember the Honeymooners? Don't play them for marriage counseling. Right? All right. So if you don't know what the Honeymooners, just Google it. It's funny, really funny, because Ralph was always getting himself in trouble with his big mouth. But, you know, how many know you can destroy your marriage with your words? You know, you can't talk to one another certain ways to stay married, right? Because you're going to get a harvest. Well, same thing's true in all life. You're going to get a harvest off of what you're saying. You just keep saying something, you're going to get a harvest off of it. Now, I don't mean to be, this may sound weird, but Phyllis can tell you this is the truth. I don't even know if I should tell this story. If it wasn't being recorded, I would. You think I should tell that story or not? We had a cat. Her name was Phoebe. We got her at the compound or the, what was it we got her at? Concentration camp or something? Where did we get her at? Rescue place. Humane Society, yes. A little tiny thing when we got her, you know. She was a pretty cool cat, you know, as far as cats go. So when we got her, we lived out in the country, so she's outside. She ran around all day long. She'd be gone for all day long, running in the woods and stuff and all. Never had a problem with fleas, never. And so we moved into town here in Newburgh, and, you know, and she moved with us. And I would just constantly call her Fleeby. Fleeby. Instead of Phoebe, I'd call her Fleeby, Fleeby, Fleeby. Phyllis said, you better stop that. Oh, Miss, you know, confession cop. I just kept calling her Fleeby. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making this up. God knows this is true. She lived out in the country for years, never had fleas. We moved into town, and she got fleas. And the only place the fleas were at in the house was in my Lazy Boy in my study. I had to set a bomb or two off in my study. That's the only place they were. I got what I said. I quit calling her Fleeby. Matter of fact, I stood her up on her hind legs and danced around, says, just as I am without one flea. We changed our confession. I know a lot of church people here said, that guy is a nut. Well, whatever. But, you know, and I'm not saying just because you said something and you were joking around, it's going to come to pass. But I just kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it. Phyllis said, quit saying that. Leave me alone. That's Fleeby. I'm the preacher here. I'm the faith man. Leave me alone. That's all right. I got the fleas. I was sitting there, man. I'm not kidding. I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and I saw a flea jumping across the page. Huh? Phyllis said it was a lesson for me. Yeah, I quit calling her Fleeby. Amen. So, now listen to the rest of this verse. This is Proverbs 11, or Proverbs 18, verse 20. The 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it are going to eat its fruit. Right? We say this a lot around here, Psalm 107, 2. How many know what that says? That's just what I thought. I will give you a hint. We say it at communion time. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right? How many know we all like Psalm 91, don't we? How many know there's all kinds of protections promised in Psalm 91? But when you read it, David said this first. He said, I will dwell under the shadow of the Almighty soon. But then he said, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. How many of you got to say some things? And you got to believe it, right? Now see, here's what I've learned. I'm just talking about my life personally. There may be scriptures of promises in that book, but when I need them, I got to go back to them and take them again. I got to shore up my faith and make sure I got some real live faith in my heart. Amen? See, in other words, what I say, and I may be talking about some of this coming week in the meetings, what I say has to be, and I'll explain this, has to be true. And when I say true, if you're a carpenter, I'm talking about carpentry true. How many carpenters know what true means? It means it's square, it's plumb, it's level. See, in other words, what I say is I'm not just saying it because I'm supposed to say it.
Right.
I'm saying it because it's true. It's really who I am.
Right.
I've made it a part of me. If you don't do that, it really doesn't work because there's no faith to it. It's just, you know, a parrot can say anything. Amen. I'm going to let you go here. But I was in Honduras and eating out of the outside cafe morning. I'd eat breakfast outside at this morning cafe. Great food, by the way. See, sometimes people think you go to some of these places that the food's terrible. Well, it just depends on where you're at. If you're outside of civilization, then you don't know what you're going to eat. But if you're in the city, they have some good food, better food than we have here, because it's more original. I mean, orange juice is squeezed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and, you know, the eggs don't have, and the chickens aren't like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I got a chicken breast one time. I'd get them over, and I'd get them in another place. I'd get a chicken breast, and it'd be about that big around. And I'm thinking, what's this? Back in the States, they this big. They big as a hubcap. What's wrong with your chickens? Well, their chickens are normal. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, that one place, you know, I'm hearing hear him kill dinner. Well, there's my dinner. I'm not making this up, man. It's like, there's a chicken squawking. I don't know if it was for me or who it was, but I got chicken breast, but chicken squawking, somebody's bugging it. You know what I'm saying? The restaurant's got chickens walking around it. That's where they keep their chickens. They don't keep them in a freezer. They keep them in the yard. Anyway. What was I saying? But anyway, I was at this restaurant. And it's just nice, peaceful, you know. And they had a parrot, you know. And, you know, you get ready to take a bite of your egg or something. And he just scream out, "Hola!" Just throw your eggs behind your back. I mean, I just wanted to throttle that bird. You know what I'm saying? Let's eat him. And the reason was, I mean, he's just repeating what he heard. See, he doesn't even know what "hola" means. He just knows if they're eating eggs, watch this. I'll yell "hola" and they'll throw them. He doesn't even know what it means. But how many know we got to get it in our heart, right? Let's all stand up. Thank God for His Word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.